Imperial Media presents The Brooke Taylor Show. Encounter, adventure, evangelize. And now your host, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, hello, and welcome to The Brooke Taylor Show, a bonus episode. See, I told you there was going to be some extras coming up this season. So I wanted to get this one out particularly because it is the recap of my first ever ultramarathon, the Burning River Endurance Run, an attempt at a 50-mile trail race, and not only myself, but my 16-year-old son, Grant. And if you are on Facebook, Instagram, you already know what happened. But this show is important, I think, because it's the lessons learned along the way, and while it's fresh, too. I wanted to process, write some things down, share how it went so that, you know, you could benefit without actually attempting to run 50 miles yourself, unless you're called to that, which would be totally fantastic. And if that's the case, I think you'll find these lessons helpful too, I hope, going into something like that. So in this episode, I'll share the race results. We'll also talk about how it came to be, because this was a bit last minute to do an ultra marathon, and unpack the lessons from it. So here we go.
Woo! You only got lost once?
Hey! All right. So that is at mile 9. That's my husband, who was my crew member. For a race like this, you need a crew, believe it or not. So the aid station at mile 9 is pretty much like a warm-up when you're looking at the duration of a 50-miler. And that's backing up then the story. The Burning River has a 50-mile and a 100-mile distance, as well as a relay, which in retrospect probably would have made more sense to do. But no, I had to take the challenge, did the 50, which actually I'm really glad that I did. But I had a lot to learn in a short amount of time, because this was not only my very first ultra marathon race, but my very first trail race. And if you're wondering why I didn't share much about it, you know, the rigorous training and the conditioning going into it, it's because there was no rigorous training and conditioning going into it. But I will say that I am just in general a bit of an ultra nerd. I follow the sport pretty enthusiastically, and I have for several years, even I would say before it's gotten so mainstream, because years ago, like a decade ago, when David Goggins was on my radar with working at the radio station, now everybody knows him, and I've talked about him a lot on this show, but he was an early ultra racer. And so I started watching documentaries and just honestly in awe of these people, because if you would have asked me 5 years ago, even 2 years ago, I really don't think I would have desired or ever believed that I would run a marathon, which I did end up doing last year, let alone a 50K or a 50 miler or beyond. I mean, forget that. But because I follow the sport a bit, I do know that world. So I think going into it, that was an advantage. I know about the importance of having a crew and what to expect on a trail race, and that you need a headlamp and you might be running through the dark and all of these different things. And as far as dialing in nutrition and hydration, the other component to this is that I am a very big fan of Tommy Rivers Pusey. He's an ultra endurance athlete, incredible human, amazing story. And I got to know him somewhat through social media. And if we're connected on social media, you probably know this as well, because I've talked about it for the last few months. He has battled a rare and aggressive lung cancer, seemed to just kind of come out of nowhere, and has been very near death a few times. He's a husband and a father. And so that really impacted me too. You know, it's kind of jarring when someone who you think is like the most fit person in the world, you just are reminded again the fragility of every day, of life, of health. And so my husband, he sends me the information about Burning River like 3 weeks before race day, because it's a local event. And he was also interested in possibly doing it. I'm so proud of Jim. He has lost about 40 pounds. He's running every day. So he was wanting a challenge. He thought, well, maybe we could put a relay together or something, but it just didn't work out. However, the race was going to be on my birthday. So the fact, first of all, that this race was happening at all, because so many races across the country, I mean, thousands we're talking, across the world have been canceled. But the fact that this one was essentially in our backyard, and it was on my distant bucket list. I mean, it was definitely on my radar. I'm very familiar with this race. I just didn't really know that I would ever be doing it, but that it was happening, it was here, it was going forward, and it was going to be on my birthday. So that got my attention. And the fact that my husband and my son really said, you should do this, you can do this. And so going back to Tommy Rivers Pusey, his brother Jake is a coach. And so we've had connection before. I reached out to Jake and said, I was thinking about doing this, thinking about running for Tommy, but could I even consider it? Or is it just a terrible idea? Because I haven't been running 20-mile training runs. I haven't been running 30-mile training runs. And this is a 50-mile race. So I don't want to wreck my body. That's my first thought. And I also want to be able to finish if I commit to something like this. I thought he'd say, yeah, maybe sit this one out. There's just not enough time. That's not what happened. He said, absolutely. I think you should go for it. And I didn't expect to hear that. You know, Jake is a coach, so he knows his stuff. And so when I heard that, I thought, you know, if he thinks that I can do it, then maybe I can. So that was really what made me sign up. It wasn't the belief in myself that I could do it. It was my husband, my son, this coach, whose opinion I very much value, all saying, you can do this. Come to find out, Tommy's birthday is also the same day as mine and as the day of the race. So, you know, that for me was significant because I wanted to offer this race for prayer intentions. And when I heard that, I thought, boy, this is perfect. My son said that he wanted to do it. So that was it. So we registered, and that's kind of how it came to be. And so for the results, if you haven't heard how it all ended up shaking out here, I was able to make it 33.6 miles. So I did not finish. And that, by the way, that 0.6 is really important. And I probably would have been able to go to 35, but that the 33.6 is where the aid station was located. And if you're going to drop, that's where you need to go and you tell the official. And the reason that I did was because of a knee injury. And if you followed me for a while, you know that I had to rehab my knee a couple of years ago in preparation before the Jerusalem Marathon. That was just the half marathon, but I had some physical therapy that I had to do. Thankfully, it hasn't bothered me since, but I know my history. And so that was my primary concern, is I was running on an injury because early on my knee started to hurt. And a big part of that, I would say, is the pounding in the trail. I'm not used to that. So the way the race worked is the start time was 4 a.m. But to be COVID compliant, because there were so many rules in order for this race to happen and permits to be approved, racers started in waves and the faster racers started first so that it would eliminate or reduce passing. And I just gave myself the maximum amount of time, which was 15 hours to finish the race. I wasn't even going to shoot for anything faster than that because, come on, I knew that I wasn't ready. So I started as actually the last wave in the race, which was at 5:30 in the morning. Even still, you have a headlamp on, you're going through the woods in the dark, and then you go into these trails. Again, I am not used to running on trails. I'm a street runner just because it's convenient for my life. So I put my tennis shoes on, I go out the door. Now, trail is better on your body, but not in this case, not for me, because these trails were intense. You're talking up and down, the elevation, the roots and the stumps and the rocks and the streams and the mud and the bridle trails and the stairs. And so this pounding on my body, it wasn't going up. I was all good going all uphills. It was the down. It was traversing because these trails are technical. So you have to watch your footing. You also are trying to maintain a certain amount of speed and balance. And my knee was just pounding and pounding. And then what happens when you're in pain or you get tired is you start to shuffle and you're not picking up your feet enough. Therefore, it's easier to get caught on a root or a stump. And that's what happened. So my right foot got caught on a root and I twisted my leg. I didn't fall, but that right there, I knew based on what I felt with my knee, it was excruciating pain. And that happened just before mile 20. So I didn't even think that I was going to be able to go on after that. And once again, a testament to the power of prayer and perseverance, something happened. Have you ever been in so much pain where it's just completely involuntary and you're just crying every time you put pressure or that tender area is touched? And it was like I could feel my heart start to race because I was in so much pain. And so I thought, how am I even going to make it to mile 22? Because I can't even pick up my leg. It's locked. Plus, again, you have to traverse all these trails. So somehow it's a bit of a miracle, I think, that I did make it all the way to 33. I don't even know what happened, except so many people I know were praying. At the same time, I was praying for so many people because I had asked for messages. So I'm going to get into that in the lessons. But incredibly, there was a point where the pain just completely went away and I was able to run. I was able to pick up. But again, and so there's a lesson in there too. It was like I was granted this grace and healing to keep on going. And then it came back, and it came back with a vengeance. But also say that my son Grant did finish. My 16-year-old son Grant did finish. I could hardly wrap my head around that at his age. I mean, to stick it out almost 15 hours, having never even run a marathon before, and to endure 50 miles and press on, mostly completely by himself, in pain for a great deal of time. I was just sobbing as he crossed the finish line. I have to apologize because it's a bit of the annoying mom voice, but this is a clip of me recording him at the end.
Go, Grant, you're almost there, bud.
Definitely a memorable moment, I know, for Jim and I and for our whole family and for Grant himself. So congratulations again. And of course, there are lessons everywhere. And that's what I wanted to unpack, and I'm still processing, so bear with me here. But I've been able to write down a few things that I think relates to life, that I think relates to all of us, no matter where we are. So the first lesson that I wrote down from this ultramarathon experience, most obvious, is you are stronger than you think.
If ever there's a tomorrow when we're not together, there's something you must remember.
And what might that be, Christopher Robin?
You're braver than you believe, and stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think.
Oh, that's easy. We're braver than a bee, and longer than a tree, and taller than a goose. Or was that a moose?
No, silly old bear. You're braver than you believe, and stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think.
Christopher Robin, Pooh Bear, and a classic. And we know that. We know that we are stronger than we think, and what we often give ourselves credit for. And it's easy to listen to a pep talk or find a motivational quote on Pinterest, I think, when it's something that we're going after, a goal that we set on our terms, our timeline. But when we're tested with something that we maybe didn't want or didn't choose, we shrink from that. It is our human nature. We doubt that we will be strong enough. I think about autism. How am I going to be the mom that my daughter needs through a diagnosis like autism, severe autism, intellectual disability? Maybe for others, it's Alzheimer's or living through trauma or depression or a relationship that dissolved. It takes strength to keep going. And I think especially when you didn't choose the race, I was not as ready as I wanted to be, but you know what? I had been consistently training. So that's a big thing. I didn't even know what I was training for. But during this time of quarantine and basically all of the extracurriculars and the travels and everything in our life canceled and dormant, I had time to train. So that's one of the things that I was doing consistently every day that I've been for months, 5 months, is running more and more consistently, not even knowing why or what I was training for. But I asked God that whatever that looked like, I would be ready. And then my husband tells me about this race, and then Jake encourages me to do it. And that confirmation was there that this is what I had been training for. So at the last minute, I set up a Google Voice mailbox and I asked for messages, for prayer requests that I could offer up through the suffering during the race. And my friend Robin left this. So I think it rounds out this first point, and I wanted to share what she left for me in this mailbox. Take a listen.
Hi, Brooke. This is Robin. I have been thinking about what I wanted to send you. And this morning, this is a scripture that came through with my devotional. It's 1 Corinthians 9. Start with verse 23. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Just remember, you're running a race, but you're also running a race. I will be praying for you that the Lord would bless you in the midst of this race, and that he would use you as a symbol of his love to others.
So remain strong. You are not shadow boxing. You are not beating the air. You are in the race. You are in it today, right now. And we know that there are going to be miles of pain and fatigue, but every day we wake up and we're given fresh mercies and new hope and rested feet to keep on running. That, to me, is what is most astonishing about this whole thing, is as I record this, I am ready to go back out and run. I thought that I might be on crutches, or that I might be dealing with surgery or physical therapy because of my knee. I'm running on an injury, and I had to weigh that out. Okay, I'm a caregiver. I'm a mom. None of us, and I did an Insta story about this, none of us can afford to be laid up. But I thought, what's more important? Do I want to finish this 50-mile race on an injury, not knowing how bad it's going to get and how long it's going to actually put me out of doing what I love, which is running? Or am I going to go until I can't go anymore and make that prudential judgment when I need to pull myself out? And that's what I ended up doing. But then, you know, you second guess, because I actually healed so quickly within a few days that I thought, oh man, I could have kept going. But you don't know. I just know that I'm not shadow boxing, that we're in the race, and that last year I was afraid to even run a full marathon. I doubted. I didn't know. Even with a coach, even with training, I don't have a small build and a muscular body and a six-pack of abs. I'm not fast by any means, and I have a ton on my plate mentally and physically. All of those are excuses. And I finished the marathon, and I never would have imagined that just over a year later, I would run even farther. And so know that today you are in training, and that training is preparing you. And the more you stay close to sacred scripture, the graces of the Mass, the sacraments, prayer, fasting, the more powerful you are. These are the holy electrolytes that we need to give us strength to keep on going. And so that is the first lesson. You are stronger than you think. Lesson two, don't set limits. So this is one of the bad habits that I have with my daughter, with Carolina. And I think it comes from a good place, because I remember early on just breathlessly searching for every book that I could find on children who were cured from autism. I'm saying that with air quotes, because I thought, if I just put together a certain treatment protocol, or get her to this expert, or implement a gluten-free diet, or to become an expert in ABA therapy. And I almost say I was shadowboxing then in the beginning, because I was just reaching for whatever was out there, because I was drowning. I was so overwhelmed, and I was just reaching for whatever was out there in this sea and the storm that I was in. And then there came a time where I knew I just had to stop and just continue doing everything that we could to help Carolina thrive, but also to accept reality and to just be at peace. But with that, sometimes you can veer into complacency. At least that's been my experience. So for example, I never thought that Carolina would read. She has a pretty significant intellectual disability. And then with autism and the sensory challenges on top of that, it just seemed unlikely to me. But guess what? She is reading sight words. She is reading beginner books. I mean, only God. And why did I limit her? Why did I doubt? Also, with swimming, I never imagined that she would learn to swim, and she's not there yet. But with her practice this year, for the first time, I see that one day she may be able to swim. And we are Christ followers, which means nothing is impossible with God. At the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, what happens? Luke 1:37, the angel answers, "The Holy Spirit will come down to you, and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth is also going to have a son, even though she is old. No one thought she could ever have a baby, but in 3 months' time, she will have a son, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responds, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said, or let it be done to me according to your word." And maybe that is a response, maybe a challenge that I can throw out. How can we respond to that? Like Mary, when we're faced with a challenge, nothing is impossible for God. And we say, "I am the Lord's servant. let it be done according to your word. I am the Lord's handmaid. And then it goes back to lesson number one. We are stronger than we think. When Mary gives her yes, she is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and everything changes. When we give our yes to our Lord, we give permission for him to have his way with us. That gives us a strength we don't have on our own, a supernatural grace to endure and to thrive and to achieve for his glory. There is nothing in me that says I could go out and run 33 miles. I had been training. I did have the desire and the will, but for me, it was a limit that I set for myself. That's just, no, that's not, I'm not living in reality if I think that I can do that. But then it was someone else that had to say, yeah, you can do this. You know, we're not supposed to be like the rest of the world. We're supposed to be doing amazing things because we serve a God who equips us to do so. And if you're just waiting to be used, ask him to use you. I will say buckle up, because when you do ask, it's going to be a ride. But trust that he will answer that prayer, because we don't need to look around very long and see that the world needs holy heroes. Maybe you have been called to be a lay street preacher. Maybe you've been called to go back to school or to be more vocal about your faith or what our church teaches. And you need that help to be able to be called out of your comfort zone, out of your limits, to know that you're stronger than you think. And the examples that we have through scripture and in the saints is an unbelievable wealth and treasury that we can pull from. And our kids need that. Our communities, our country, now more than ever, we need to see that and to keep one another going. And I use that quote all the time. God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. And I love Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. God does not call me to be successful. He asks me to be faithful. And being alive in the spirit is going to feel a little bit scary sometimes, because we are outside of our flesh and our comfort zone. But again, that's also where the dazzling glory comes in. And I learned that anew. Lesson number three, sometimes victory looks like failure. I have a place in my closet where I keep all of my race medals. All of my race bibs are there too, and it represents about 20 years of running. But if somebody were to go in my closet and look at those, they would not find anything about the Burning River race. I will say I do have a bib there, but there's no medal, there's no certificate, there's no buckle. And on the website next to my name, it just says DNF, which means did not finish. It doesn't say that I ran 33.6 miles, and that number, 33, the life of Christ, isn't that what we see every time when we look at the cross? We see failure, we see death, and the truth is that is the key that unlocked everlasting glory, and the thing, the failure that triumphed over death, the true victory in the paradox of the cross. We have to remember that. It doesn't say that I ran 33.6 miles. It just says DNF. But that is not the whole story. I mean, it was the longest distance of my life, but I really don't have anything to show for it. And even though my failure of not crossing the finish line is legitimate, it is still a victory. I believe I will claim that victory. I am not going to sit here and say I'm ashamed and I can't get over it. I, yes, would love to have finished and I wish that I did, but it is a victory and I will claim it, because it was through perseverance in great pain and setting a distance PR. And so for me, it was a reminder not to get hung up when things go wrong, because it's probably not the end of it. And I love that new song by Elevation Worship. It's called Graves into Gardens. If you don't know it, look it up, because I've been playing it on repeat. In fact, I did have it on my playlist during the race as well. But one of the stanzas says, you turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. Amen. That's worthy to sit and reflect on. It's true. It's either true or it's not. And if it's true, it is profoundly, magnificently, unbelievably true. Just because we can't see something, it does not mean that God isn't working. It doesn't mean that things aren't happening. I think even now of the seasons, they begin to shift quietly and slowly. The seeds in the ground, they sprout and they bloom without noise or fanfare. And one day, you may just find that God was working all this time. And I say especially because I receive so many messages from moms who are worried about their kids. And I'm going to say it without hopefully my voice cracking, because there's something very intimate about a voice in your ear, especially when you are in the pain cave and you're really struggling and you hear another mother talking about the love of her child and the grief that she has in her heart, or losing a spouse, or concern about her health, or deep love for her grandchildren. There are so many things that we all carry, and so many of you entrusted those prayers. And that was something that I took very seriously, to offer through the incense, the rising of incense in my suffering to the throne. And on that note, I want to share something just very personal and private that happened to me. And part of it, too, is to have a record of this, because I feel like if I don't voice it or write it down, I worry that I'll forget about the power of this moment. I was in a particularly difficult spot, pain-wise. Also, it was really hot, so I was really battling with dehydration, because the way that I fuel is almost like the IV method. I tend to have a lot of stomach problems, especially over long races, especially in the heat, especially when I'm nervous. And so if I take in too much hydration, then I just get really sick. But you also cannot afford, you're riding the edge if you think you can go very long without hydration, especially when it's near 90 degrees. So it's just a little bit at a time. And you have to know when you need electrolytes, or for me, sometimes I put honey in my water, and when you need to take a bite of a bar or a gel. I don't use gels, those don't agree with me, but everybody's different. And so this was a moment, I would say I was in a bonk. My body didn't have what it needed. I was struggling. I was probably at mile 27 and I was by myself. And all of a sudden, I had this image of my dad. Dad's no longer with us. He died of lung cancer. But there he was. And as a little girl, when my dad was proud of me, he would always say, "You made my button pop." And he would unbutton, as a cheesy dad thing it was, he would unbutton one of his buttons and say, "Look, I was so proud. My chest was so puffed out. You made my button pop." And so I had this beautiful, clear image of my dad, strong and healthy. And he was laughing and he was cheering me on. I also was given this extraordinarily powerful image of my daughter, completely typical, a normal 10-year-old girl, cheering me on, understanding what I was doing. And even her face looked different. And it was almost as if she was in that glorified sense and she was rooting for me. And beyond that were faces and friends that have gone on to glory. And they were there. There were some messages that I received from people who had lost loved ones. I don't know what they looked like, but those cloud of witnesses, they were there too. And the saints and the angels. And there's a scripture that talks about that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And that really was alive for me at that moment. Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that is so easily entangled, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Amen. The author and perfecter of our faith gives us strength to do things beyond what we can imagine, and we know we are not alone. And every now and then, we get a glimpse of glory. And that's how I feel, which is so undeserved, but man, did that keep me going. And that sincerely is my prayer for you. There are more lessons that I learned. There are more things that I wanted to share about having a crew, which I liken to, you know, when you climb Mount Everest, you have to have a Sherpa. You cannot do it alone. You have to have someone that's going to carry your stuff and that's going to help bear the burden when you're doing some tough work. And maybe on the next episode, I'll be able to unpack that. I wanted to just be able to give you these thoughts, to get it out for myself as well, and share these lessons from the Ultra Marathon. So thank you. Thank you for listening, for encouraging me. So many of you, when I shared, said, "You can do it," or "I'm praying for you." And I know that you mean it. And I know that you did. And I felt that. And I thank you. And I don't know where the Lord is leading next. Again, on a personal note, this has been a bit of a tough time. I'm out of work, essentially, because all that I do and all of my events have been on hiatus. So many of us are in that same situation. And this is how our life is. Sometimes you're on the sidelines of the big game. All that I ever desire is to be out there and working and serving. And so when that is removed, and also the way that you provide for your family, you have to reset. It's tough. But that doesn't mean, again, that God isn't working. And so for me, this was a reminder to be able to use this time that I have to go on this pilgrimage of praise and petition and take away these lessons and use it for the next mile down the road and where the Lord will be sending me and for all of us. So I just pray that for you, that you feel the Lord's presence, that all of those lessons are truly real in your own life, and that you know that truth, that you are stronger than you think, that you won't set limits as we're so tempted to do. And sometimes limits are good. So maybe I need to say that, of course, but as we serve and in the Spirit, that's God's territory. And then finally, that sometimes victory looks like failure, but we know that the Lord has the last word. And that victory is already won. God bless you, friends. I'd love to hear from you. If you have any input or feedback or comments, thebrooketaylorshow@gmail.com is the easiest way to reach me. Also, I have to say, I love the Google voicemail. I think it's really cool. So if you want to leave audio feedback, call that number. I'm going to put it in the show notes, but here it is now, and I'll repeat it a few times. 330-552-8022. Here's the number again. It's area code 330-552-8022. Would love to hear from you if you have any thoughts or insights, anything you want to add. Or, of course, the email is good as well. That's thebrooketaylorshow@gmail.com. And one more time, that number is 330-552-8022. So next week, back on track with a regular episode, kicking off the theme of a crisis in leadership and the call to holy masculinity. So particularly, obviously, for the men, but we can all benefit from this. And Layla Miller, who I deeply respect and I know you're going to love, has some very powerful words about this. And Regina Ahns is going to join me. She is a fantastic artist specializing in gorgeous statuaries, and her story is pretty awesome too. So you don't want to miss the next episode. Thank you so much for your support, for being here, and your ongoing encouragement. A big thank you, too, to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire, so for any audio, video needs you may have, check him out at cominghomestudio.com. God bless you, friends. Until next time, peace and love.